On the last episode, our six remaining contestants were shuffled into two brand new teams as we get closer and closer to the finals. Today, we'll be following the journey of Gidget, Alex, and Brad as they take on Video Game Week. Will their podcast find the warp zone to our judges' hearts, or will the princess be in another castle? Find out right now on America's Next Top Podcaster. Hello and welcome to a new week of America's Next Top Podcaster. I'm Brian Ibbett, and this week the challenge is all about creating a podcast featuring video games. On this episode, we'll be following the path of the newly created team made up of Brad, Alex, and Gidget as they get some coaching from our special guest Garrett Weinzierl of The Angry Chicken and A-Move TV. They'll also get some coaching from Tom, and at the end of the show, we'll hear the final result of all of their work. I'll also get a chance to talk to Gidget about their progress. But before we get to any of that, here's the challenge that I gave to contestants along with a surprise shuffle. With so many video game players in our contestant pool, it shouldn't shock anyone that we're going to be dipping into that category for this week's challenge. The trick is going to be coming up with something that's unique in a big, wide-open field of video game podcasts. They're one of the most popular categories, and all three of our judges have either been hosts of long-running video game podcasts, or they've been a guest on some of the most popular long-running video game podcasts. We want you to create a video game podcast, but we want you to put your own unique spin on it. Something more than just gaming news, tips, strategies, shows that we all know and love, but surprise us with a unique take on the formula. Keep it under 10 minutes, or you're going to find yourself out of extra lives, and have it to us by the end of the week, or the end of the level, which is our usual deadline. Now, we're getting down to six contestants with this. So I have a box full of ping pong balls, and I've already taken Bridget's ping pong ball out of here, but I'm going to do a little gaming of my own. It's time for a team reshuffle, and since I can't give you guys buffs to drop, I'm going to reduce the team count by one and basically take into the next week with two teams of three players each. I'm going to go ahead and pick these via random draw. I'm just going to reach in and grab three balls, and I've got Bill, Amy, and Jerry. So we're really splitting things up.
Oh my gosh, this is exciting.
Whoa. That's right.
Now also, because of the reshuffle, you can't really give the winning team a bonus because the winning team is kind of getting divided up. So you're both going to get a little bit of help with your coaching. Our special guest this week is the founder of A-Move TV. He's co-host of shows like The Angry Chicken or The Angry Kitchen, which is my favorite cooking podcast. Into the Nexus, The Instance, and a brand new show called that covers Apex Legends called
Enter Apex.
Enter the Apex, exactly. Yeah. I was getting there, Jury.
I'm sorry. I thought I jumped in.
He's going to be spending a little time with each of the two teams this week, giving them some advice to help give their shows a power boost. I will leave it up to you guys. If you want to rename your teams completely, I know on Survivor they give them that option, or you can kind of keep the names roughly the same if you want. I'm here with Gidget from the recently decimated Three Yanks and a Nazi and the recently formed Emu Ears. Welcome, Gidget.
Hi, Brian. How you doing?
I'm good. You know, nothing like a good reality show to kind of throw a wrench into the works. As soon as everybody seems to be getting their groove and figuring things out, it's somewhere between drop your buffs and expect the unexpected, to put it in reality show terms.
Absolutely. I thought it was fun. I'm always up for an adventure. So I thought, you know, a change is as good as a holiday. So obviously, I've been working with Brad. We lost Jerry and we've taken on Alex. And Alex is just, you know, fitting in very, very comfortably. But, as you know, we're down to the pointy end of the competition. So I suppose you've got to just roll with the punches.
Totally. Yeah. And who knows when it's even going to get more difficult because we switch from teams into individual at some point. And I think I've been fairly secretive about when that's happened. But, you know, who knows? I might have let something slip at some point or another. but it's kind of fun seeing the different dynamics, too. And how are things going? You mentioned, obviously, you're still with Jerry. But how are things going?
Still with Brad.
I'm sorry, still with Brad. How are things going with bringing Jerry into the fold? Like, is he gelling fairly quickly?
Alex?
I'm sorry, Alex. Oh my God, I'm totally.
you're over podcasted. Yes. That's what it is, Brian.
I think that is the case. Yeah, I've been over podcasting.
That's it. You got podcast burnout.
Let me rephrase that. So you've been working with Jerry you've been working with Brad. I'm doing it again. You've been working with Brad up until now. He's still with you. And how is introducing Alex to the group going?
It was a very, very smooth. Alex is a very big personality, and he's very much to take charge. And Brad and I quite like that. Brad and I are fairly easygoing. So mm-hmm. that dynamic works quite well. That he's sort of stepped into Jerry's role, and he's got a great voice. That's always really good. And the three of us are all very different, but the good thing is we came with a plethora of ideas for the gaming podcast. And I'm not a huge gamer. Brad, not really. I think he plays Hearthstone. And Alex is a huge gamer. So we had to find
a good balance.
Yeah, we had to find something that works for all of us. And actually, speaking to Garrett, we went through a whole heap of ideas. He liked a couple more than the other. And then right at the last minute when we had our last meeting, the two boys came up, because I did this silly voice, and then the two boys came up with this crazy idea. But the fact that it made the three of us laugh, and it would make it more entertaining for people to listen to, not just gamers, but people that are not gamers as well. So right. I'll keep it a little bit secretive, but all I can say is expect me to be doing a really silly voice.
Oh, excellent. All right. That's a cool tease. I think I heard a little bit of it. So if it's going the direction that I'm assuming it's going, it's going to be really, really funny.
Yes. Excellent. Yeah. It's sort of like a play sort of thing.
Oh, good. Yeah. Which is key. I mean, you can't just, you know, there's so many different gaming podcasts out there. Trying to come up with something unique is difficult, but you certainly don't want to nestle into the same area of, here we are, we're going to talk about the secrets and strategies of game X. And you want to have something that's different and that brings people in with a unique twist on the video game style. So that's excellent. Good.
That's what we thought. There's so many podcasts out there that are gamers, and you know, I was listening to quite a few of them last night, and there's a lot that, you know, obviously they have the people that work on the games, they have them on to interview, they go to all the different events as well, or they do a genre of games or a type of game or a specific game, and we're thinking, how can we come at it in a different perspective? And also it'd be funny, because as we know, last week with the Stories podcast, it was all very somber. Wasn't too many, kill yourself laughing, fall off your chair type of podcast last week. So we're thinking, all right, let's try and lighten the mood this week and do something funny. And the fact that, you know, when we sort of kind of rehearsed it a bit, the fact that Brad's always a good gauge for what's funny, because his laugh is infectious. And the only trouble is he does laugh at pretty much anything, so that could always be a bit dicey. You just do a weird sound and Brad's like killing himself laughing. So we've got to be careful there. But the fact that the three of us laughed, that's always encouraging. So we'll see how it goes. But, I mean, the good thing for you guys and for the judges, I've only got two podcasts to listen to now a week, so...
Right. And you'd think that I'd be really nice and say, oh, now your limit's 15 minutes instead of 10 minutes. But no, I'm not that nice. I'm not that generous.
You are nice, because, well, look, it's just more content, isn't it, that you've got to come up with for 15 minutes. And it's weird how I've got so used to the 10-minute thing now. It's a nice relief, because my podcast that I do privately is an hour. So it's actually, you know, it's like it's just a different challenge, and I'm getting really quite used to it now.
There's
the 10 minutes.
Are you noticing any changes then in how you produce your existing content? Like, are you thinking more about limits, even though you currently don't have any in the outside, the podcast that you do outside of this competition? Or are you able to kind of separate what you do here versus what you do outside of here?
I think with the Retro Cinema podcast that's an hour, basically we come in so prepared that we start on that hour moment, and we are an hour.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we stick it to an hour. But the one thing I think that this competition's done, yesterday we recorded Reanimator to be released this Thursday, and it was a lot punchier. Like, even my the guy, Angry Man, who I do it with, he's like, whoa, he said, you were really hitting the points on that one. And I think, and I said, I think it's this competition. It's just, it's,
it must be. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Good. Well, hey, if there's another positive influence that this thing has, I'm glad it's that. That's really cool.
Absolutely. Yep. Excellent. No, it's good. I'm having a great time, and I can't thank you again for taking a chance on me and having me on, because I'm having a ball.
I'm glad that you're part of this as well. You add, everybody's adding such a great different dynamic to this, that that's what makes it so difficult doing eliminations, is we don't want to lose that dynamic that is inherent in each of the contestants that we pulled into this. So,
That's tough. The booting is tough. It'd be harder if you're like in the same room with them and looking them in
the face. Right. I have to actually look at them. It's like, yeah. They don't see me like, quickly grabbing a bottle of Jack Daniels and like, all right, it's time for the elimination. But
bike.
everybody seems to take in the spirit of it's a very lighthearted, it's a podcast for Pete's sake. It's not like, people have $1 million riding on this. So that's what makes things easier.
There's no $1 million.
I did have that in one of the early memos, didn't I? I guess I never edited that. Very good. Well, I'm excited to see what you guys come up with. I'm also excited to hear what you come up with Tom tomorrow. So yep. I'll be listening in on that and looking forward to your submission at the end of the week.
Awesome. Okay. We should be all good.
Sounds good. Well, thanks, Gidget. Looking forward to hearing what you guys do.
Sure. I told the other team too, you can ask me about anything. I will say, wow, Brad, like knockout story, right?
Jerry.
Yeah. It was Jerry's story.
Oh, sorry, Jerry. Jerry.
Yeah, I wrote the intro and did the edit.
Okay. But, sorry about that. That
was,
wow.
No. That was, his story was great. And I think our jaws just dropped and said, yep, that's it. We're doing that. That was great.
No, good content. Good content always helps take you a long way. So what are we thinking for this week?
Yeah, so we got a couple of ideas that were floating around, and we're probably going to give both a shot and see what we like most. We're still kind of figuring that out. That's kind of what we wanted to talk to you about. First of all, our first thought is that there is a show that we want to do around decades. So the idea is that it's a longer running series where we talk about historical events that happen, or very significant events that happen per decade. And like this on this week's episode, we're in this season of this series, we're talking about like the 80s or the 90s. And in this specific episode, we're talking about video games and the impact that video games had on, culture in the 90s, our own personal experience in the 90s. And kind of having a roundtable discussion around that. Okay. Thoughts?
So one question. So is each episode a different decade, or each episode a different topic within a decade?
Each episode would be a different topic within a decade.
Okay. And right, you're moving slowly through the decades then over the course of the season?
Yeah. So Gidget, if you want to chime in.
I kind of wrote because we're all trying to come at it with a different perspective, and I wrote last night a version of that, but because I'm older than the two guys, I sort of wrote a version that I basically talk about one iconic game in the 80s, and then Brad comes in and talks about one iconic game in the 90s, and then Alex comes in and talks about the most recent biggest game, and that could be an ongoing thing because there's so many iconic games of the 80s.
I see.
For this one, I was going to say like Donkey Kong. I was going to talk about Donkey Kong, how big it was, and just a little bit of trivia about it. And that's what I wrote out. So we're coming at it. We're just trying to see what works best and what you think as well.
Three people, three decades. One topic.
Yeah.
Okay. And you are doing 80s, 90s, and 2000s, or 80s, 90s, and 80s? I missed that. Sorry.
Yeah, and we would be doing like 80s, 90s, and 2000s, but, and that's one end of it. The other – so we had a couple of ideas around this decades thing. That was one of them, where we talk about a multiple decades, one topic around video games. And then there was another idea around, hey, is it too much to talk about multiple decades – within a single podcast. Yeah, I see you chiming in, Brad. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. I think that's the point that I was trying. I just feel like that's going to be too much to try to cover, and you really don't cover any of it good enough.
I think the telling detail here is how long it's taking you to explain what this is.
Yeah,
you definitely need to simplify. And an easy way to simplify it is one topic, three decades, right? If that's the case, you can say, you know, what was the most iconic game of these three decades and how do they compare to each other, right? And that could make a nice structure where, you know, one of you has the 80s game, one of you has the 90s, one of you has the 2000s. Then you have your roundtable discussion of like, why were they iconic for their time and how do they relate to each other? What do they share and what was different and how was that emblematic? You can easily explain that. You can make a good conversation about it, and it means that every week it's just a different topic. So whether it's iconic game or character or
movie,
you've got a season out of it.
That's great. Actually, that's an angle.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
That's an angle. So yeah, okay, that's a great angle. And Gidget, that's something that I had a disconnect on, and that might be really good to consider.
That's cool. I'll actually as soon as we finish up, I'll send this script through. Okay, so I've done my part, and then I've just put, you know, Brad, you fill in your bit, and because when I wrote it out, I just did a very brief outline as to what is Donkey Kong, and then just a tiny bit of trivia, and I counted it, and it was less than 3 minutes. So if we can all do our era under 3 minutes. Then that gives us time for the intro, and it gives us time to have a conversation about comparing how iconic they were for each decade.
Sure.
Two thoughts here. One, 60 seconds, because if you target 3 minutes, you write five. So target 60, maybe you'll write two or three, you've got to keep it tight. And the tighter you keep it, the better it'll be. Because what you want to do is not lose somebody like, man, so this is a podcast about Donkey Kong, I guess, right? You want to get them fast. You want to say, here's the important thing about the 80s. First of all, it's a very important to set them up right. And you could have some fun with like, hey, I'm the 80s person, you know, 80s tagline. I'm the 90s person, 90s thing. And we're all going to talk about this this week, your topic. And then bang into like, okay, starting with the 80s, blah, 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 then 90s, then 2000s, then roundtable. I would try to do half this episode is roundtable because that's where the really interesting stuff is going to be. And you really need to tease ahead to people to wait around for that, because you don't want to lose them when they're listening to the setup. They've got to know why they're listening to the setup.
And I almost wonder if we should take it where, okay. I have some ideas and we can take it offline, certainly. And so what do you think makes for a good gaming podcast, Tom?
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of things. It's usually current, right? What makes a good gaming podcast is like, I'm playing this game and I want to talk to people about it. And so I'm listening to this podcast because I'm hearing people I like talking about it. Right. And so what you're doing here is playing into the, I have been playing video games for a long time and I love talking about old video games. Who doesn't love talking about old video games, right? We all do it, unless we're, you know, seven. So that's what's going to make this kind really good is, and this is why I'm saying you want the majority of this to be the round table, because you need the setup to get there, but you want to hear people talking about that thing that you love. This ties into another piece of feedback I was going to try to give you too. If your topic is iconic games, it might be harder to tie them together. I'm not saying you can't do it, but if your topic is Mario, then suddenly it's like, oh, you talk about Donkey Kong, you talk about Super Mario Brothers, and then you talk about Mario Kart. Boom. Now you're talking about Mario through the decades, and everybody understands, oh, this is about Mario, right? I'm not saying you have to do that, but tying in the three topics is just as important, if not more important, than the topic itself. You need topics that are going to catch people, but you need a topic that makes sense. So again, you can explain it to people. This is a show where we talk about Mario across three decades. That's really easy to explain. This is a show about iconic games across three decades, and how they compare and contrast becomes a little more complicated.
You actually hit the nail on the head and kind of where my mind was at with like, we choose a thing like Mario. How has that evolved over the years? That's exactly what was going through my mind. We can talk about that later.
You can do all kinds of things. You can do Warcraft. You can do Zelda. I mean, there's so many.
Yeah, so many exactly. Yeah.
that are across the decades. You could even do platformers and how they've changed throughout the decades and how they're still around, right?
And
you
know,
you could go like all kinds of different directions. Yeah.
So you just got to find that connective tissue.
Yeah, connective tissue. Thank you, Brad. That's all right. What do you think is what do you think is missing in the video game genre, podcast genre these days?
Your podcast. No, I don't know.
Tom.
That's impossible to answer because first of all, I don't listen to enough video game podcasts, but second of all, it's sort of, you know, you guys have got a really interesting concept here that I think you can roll with. What's missing is a concept that someone hasn't heard before. Everybody's heard people talk about current video games. Everybody's heard people talk about old video games. Everybody's heard people talk about every single video game out there. So what's missing is a particular approach that is new and fresh. And people say, oh, I actually haven't heard it that way. And this across the decades thing is new. I haven't heard anybody do this. Not saying anybody hasn't, but it sounds fresh to me.
And luckily, we have people across the time here. So that's also.
Yeah. Cool. Oh, sorry, Hammond. Sorry.
That's okay. Yep,
sorry,
Hammond. I'll start getting annoying.
it's like a presidential debate. He's like, time.
Yeah.
Time. I was eating a hash brown earlier and I'm thinking, God, I hope they can't hear it.
We heard some mouth noise.
Some crunching, yeah.
All right, y'all. This is good. You guys have got a good head of steam here. And Alex, you don't realize this, but Three Yanks generally went into every week not knowing what they were talking about and would then win. So,
you know, it's making me nervous, Tom.
Yeah, I don't know.
Of course.
It drives super organized people crazy. They're just like,
and I don't know if you caught on to this. I'm a pretty organized person, and I like to know.
Yeah.
What will happen?
Oh man! Hey Tom. By the way, Tom, are you going to go over? Are you going to be in Vegas in April?
Yeah. I'll be in Vegas at the end of April for sure.
Beautiful. All right, I'm buying you a drink when I see you
there. Oh, awesome! Thanks, man.
All right. So, hi, Garrett. Thanks for taking the time to chat. We have a few show ideas that we wanted to share with you, knowing that we have about 5 to 10 minutes to talk about video games and make it engaging for our audience and our judges, really. So I wanted to take a second to just kind of share some show ideas with you and get an idea of what you think is going to be the best. This is where we're really struggling a bit, and we could use your guidance kind of given your experience. Does that sound good?
That sounds wonderful. Fire away.
Awesome. Thanks, sir. So the first idea we have is on decades. Gidget, do you want to take this? Because this is kind of your baby.
Okay. Well, I'll reveal a lot. I'm older than the guys. So I was sort of around when it was the beginning of gaming, way back to, you know, Pac-Man and Donkey Kong and Duck Hunt and all that sort of thing. Even Pong and Space Invaders. Whereas the guys are more sort of, you know, Brad's 35, Alex is 30, so they're sort of up with the more modern things. And I'm not a massive gamer. I have played World of Warcraft and a couple of other games, but I wouldn't declare myself a gamer. So we were trying to think of something that comes across as entertaining but also is a maybe a walk down memory lane for a lot of people, or the progression of games, like how much that they've changed over the decades.
So are you thinking from a historical kind of spin?
Yeah, a little bit like that, because I know that Justin is not a gamer. I think all the rest of the judges are. But, I was trying to think of something that would appeal to people that maybe are not full-on 100% gamers.
I mean, if you're trying to game the judges, I can tell you right now that Justin plays Hearthstone. So if you want to know what game he does play, there you go.
Yeah,
right. That's right, he does, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, just to add on to that, so kind of the idea was that the broader series that this would fall into is kind of called Decades. So we would be talking about a variety of topics, not just video games in this entire series of a podcast. It would be like, you know, we would start, let's just say, in like the 60s or the 70s and talk about certain historical events that happened there. And you know, we may, you know, just plop ourselves in the 80s and, you know, just talk about video games or some kind of thing that, you know, let's just say, you know, if Gidget was narrating it, she could talk about how video games were really impacting her, you know, in her teenage years, you know, playing all those games on Atari or something like that. Did that capture it, Gidget?
Yes. Yep.
So kind of talking kind of real world. So we were thinking, I mean, really, it comes down to like maybe a couple of different ideas, because we were talking about, you know, either talking about video games decade by decade. So maybe somebody takes the 80s, somebody takes the 90s, somebody takes the 2000s, and talking about how video games kind of played a role in each of those decades, or honing in on a specific decade, like it's in the middle of a broader series, and diving into something historical there.
Well, I guess it would depend on what your goal would be for episodes. If you're looking to create something that's ongoing, I would say go, maybe don't go try and cover an entire decade in a single episode.
Yeah. Okay, good. So yeah, that was one of the ideas. Another idea, and this is one that I had brought to the table, is around strange video game history. So just talking about weird or abstract stories or something that happened within, you know, like any time within the span of video games being a thing, and talking about something really weird that happened that like nobody's really heard of. Don't really have that story yet, but it's just kind of a broad idea, because it's something that might just be different from what may be out there.
Do you have an example, a quick example of a weird video game history story that haven't heard of?
So one that you have heard of and one that kind of inspired this is the E.T. thing. You know about that? So yes. Like just kind of that feel of like they made this video game, they wanted it to be great, and now there's just tons of them in a landfill somewhere. And we might be able to find something, some other story that would kind of fit that same sort of feel.
Yeah. You know, with the speed I think you're trying to put this together, without more examples, I think at the ready, I would caution you maybe against going down this route.
Cool.
More, you know, back to the first pitch of the more kind of pop culture video game history under the umbrella of decades, is a little broader, but it is still specific enough that I think you could find an audience.
Okay. All right, cool. And then, so the third idea that we had was making a video game. And do you want to take this one, Brad?
Yeah. So I was just throwing out another idea of like starting from like, I don't know, another game or a movie or a thing that like impressed us or we're thinking about, and use that as an inspiration to kind of build a roundtable discussion about a game, or just like kind of creating a game. I don't know. Just I was hoping for something that's kind of more like on the spot, kind of poppy, and see what we could kind of create or do that might, you know, have some good, interesting conversation around it. And then also taking that into how we could possibly monetize that, or, you know,
are you thinking making a game yourself or documenting?
Yeah.
Of a game?
No, not documenting. Like we're literally going to make a game. That was the idea.
Do you have background in making video games?
No, I do not. No, this would be like, you know, this would be like friends just sitting around chatting, you know, like it's kind of comes from the idea, because I play Hearthstone too. Like there's a huge community behind like people that make cards or like, you know, in-game gimmicks or, you know, things that would work within that structure that are just kind of like completely community based. And some of that stuff gets adopted into the game. But you just kind of have a community around like, oh, I'd love to see this. I would like to do this kind of idea.
Yeah, totally. I mean, to me, creating content is so much a battle against caution and not trying to let the process of overthinking what you're about to do get in the way of actually starting and creating the product. So you have three ideas here. I don't think any of them are inherently bad. I think there are varying degrees of effort is going to be required on the part of all three of you to create this. And I would say this last one of making a video game certainly seems like it would require quite a bit of effort.
Sure.
and a lot of learning of new skills. That isn't to say it's a bad idea.
Let me clarify. We're not actually going to make the game. we're just coming up with the concept that might be a do interesting concept for something and seeing where that goes.
Gotcha. So, okay, I wasn't clear on that, but if that's the case, if you don't have to go and do it yourself, then I think that would be wildly interesting.
Cool. Okay. So, you know, we had a couple of other questions. I mean, what do you think makes for a good gaming podcast in general?
Oh, that's a loaded question. I mean, as with any podcast, I think the demeanor of the hosts is key. And you could take so many different routes with that you want to take. I mean, I am an inherently angry gamer at heart, which is why I don't stream my games. I would rather sit and have a more polite discourse around the games, because when I'm in the middle of trying to shoot people or win a fight, I tend to cuss the paint off the walls. That isn't to say that cussing the paint off the walls isn't a strategy in the way you want to handle your podcast. That wouldn't work. Some people find that very entertaining. It's just not how I choose to create my content. Mm-hmm. So I would say it can all work, but as soon as you start introducing more than one host into the dynamic, you need to make sure that you're all on the same page and you know how to play off of one another. Sure. And I would actually recommend finding different voices and different opinions, because that can be what makes it the most entertaining, is when hosts disagree, but are also capable of talking through the disagreements in a constructive fashion.
Cool. And what do you think is overly done in video game podcasts these days?
The ones I do, news shows. I think there's untapped potential, I think, in so many games. I think the easy way to break into video games is what I have done, because that clearly it has worked for me, which is to pick one specific game and make your show so easily Googleable that it is impossible for people not to find you.
And you do that for like finding a niche market there? Like, is that like your thing? Like,
it's definitely what I recommend folks do if it's their first time at the podcasting game. If you are starting with an audience of zero, I think finding a very specific niche will help you more than anything else.
And so where do you think the gap is in the podcasting world and gaming? Like, what aren't they doing these days?
What aren't they doing? I would like to
wish you could do.
I would like to see a lot more almost like character driven or committing to bits. I grew up with Pee Wee Herman. I would like to see more of that in my podcast.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Welcome back to Decades, where we talk about how our favorite things have evolved over the course of the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. With me, as always, is our resident 80s material girl, Gidget Von LaRue. Hi, Gidget.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great. And he doesn't smell like teen spirit, but he was a teen in the 90s. It's Brad Wanch.
How's it going, man?
Pretty good. And I am your host. I'm a true blue millennial, Alex Albisu. And today we're going to be talking about a topic near and dear to our hearts. It's video games, but not just video games. We're rather going to talk about the social evolution in gaming. And to get us started, we're going to be traveling back in time where gaming really started to take off. And of course, I'm talking about the 80s. So, Gidget, what was that like?
When the 80s hit, like every kid I knew was playing some form of game. And it started off in the arcades. We had Pac-Man, Mario Brothers, Donkey Kong, Super Mario Brothers, Q-Bert, Centipede. And that was the real social aspect of gaming when I first started getting into it, was getting your friends together and going down to the arcade. You'd all stand around the machine while one of you played. Then, of course, it progressed to Atari, and suddenly you could play these games at home. And that was so revolutionary, but you'd still invite all your friends around because not all your friends had the Atari. So they'd all come That's around right. and they'd all play on that game with you. And it was always a very social event.
Hey, did you meet some like cool people like while you were at the arcade, like some friends that you maybe didn't have before?
Always. That was a real collective social event, because you were too young to go to a bar or anything like that because you were a teenager. So that was the that was the meeting group, and that's why I like movies like The Last Starfighter and stuff like that, because that was the thing to do to get together after school and, you know, play these great games.
What was your favorite game going into arcades like that?
I think my favorite game was always Donkey Kong. That's what I used
good
to play.
Choice.
At the it's great fun. And then of course they came out with the Game Boys. So all of a sudden you could like move around. You could move around and play the games, and I still have one somewhere, so I should try and fish it out because it's probably worth a fortune now.
Yeah, we had games leaving the arcade and becoming more accessible at home, and that's really where we saw a surge of that happening as we entered into the 90s. Console gaming was huge. So what was that like for you there, Brad?
Yeah, console gaming was amazing because I don't, maybe I grew up in a poor neighborhood or something, but it was always cool to see what kid got what game, and their house became like the cool kid's house. Like, you know, like, yeah, they got, you know, it's like, oh, you got the new Mortal Kombat. All right. And so we were just over there, just like, I don't know, it was very social. I was always in other kids' homes. Like, we were always going from different houses to play different games. I don't know. I felt like we made some really fun memories, and it was really cool getting to play
so
games.
I don't know about you, but I remember back in the 90s, when you would deal with fighting games, it would literally break out into a fight.
And, yeah, and that's where you made memories, though, you know? Like, you were like, the thing that annoyed me most, and this is getting kind of late 90s, but playing GoldenEye, and you the split screens. It was fighting grounds if you were screen looking, you know?
Oh,
and
yeah.
If I suspected you were screen looking, like, we're about to throw down for real. So it was good times.
Yeah, and hearing you talk about games like GoldenEye, and that was really a surge for what would come later as really modern day first person shooters, where it really created a whole new atmosphere of online gaming, and that started to really take off in the 90s and as we enter into the 2000s. And I remember as I was growing up in the early to mid 2000s, LAN parties were a big deal. We hadn't at that point really embraced the idea that, you know, we were playing Counter-Strike and we could do that from home, but we still longed for that experience of playing games together like we did in the 90s. But, you know, for me, I can tell you that as the 2000s kind of really kicked off and a game like World of Warcraft would come out, that became way more comfortable for me to sit at home and play by myself, because that's a game that you could really dive into for hours and hours and hours. And you didn't really need to be in the same room as people, because certain technology like Ventrilo came out where that let you talk like how we're talking over the internet now. That was really the beginning of that.
Yeah. I used to play World of Warcraft, but Alex, when did that first come about? Do you know when you could actually not have to leave the house and you could still talk to your friends and you could game together in the same game? Do you know what the first game was?
I mean, so I don't know exactly when the first game, but like for me, we were doing that with Counter-Strike back in, you know, the early 2000s. And we were playing on Ventrilo, and this was with people that were certainly further away. We preferred to play together by bringing our rigs over to each other's houses, but we started to embrace more and more of the Ventrilo as games like World of Warcraft came out, which, you know, these are playing games on a much larger scale. So you're dealing with a lot more people, and that's where I feel like I started to truly embrace, you know, this whole gaming away from people thing.
So what do you think the social aspect of that is? Is it still being social if you're playing with people online in a game?
I think that that's a really good question. And it's something that a lot of people tend to talk about. You know, on one end, you're dealing with still having a social conversation with somebody. On the other end, you don't see the person who you're having that conversation with. So hence you have some people trolling or being rude to each other. You don't have the consequence of saying something to somebody's face and they turn around and punch you in the face for it. So there's always that.
I think it's interesting because, like, I feel like the social, like, connectivity, it's gone down. I've seen a lot of studies on loneliness and how much loneliness just kind of like become an epidemic in our society. And that it's kind of weird that that exists in a time where we have so much connectivity.
And that's really true, because if you think about it, and in some cases, people really don't embrace the voice chat these days anyway. They really want to lean into the text. I think there's something to be said about talking to somebody verbally versus having a text dialogue.
I think, though, like, even in verbal, like, playing shooters and stuff, you can jump in and out of games and you're like, you know, I talk with somebody, but do I really connect? No, you know, like, in order to have that connection, I got to come back to the game. And you remove the element of what was gaming to me. It got me together with my friends. And yeah, we started playing games, but, you know, we'd wind up doing other things together. And so
more than just gaming.
And talking about that, I find it very interesting because last night I actually went on and tried out quite a few modern games. And one of them was Fortnite, which is one of the big games. And I think there's an age thing as well, because in the chat, it was me and about four or five kids that all sounded like they're under 10. So I suddenly felt like I should have been really strict with them or told them to behave themselves or something like that. So I think with modern games as well, there's games that suit people's ages. There's not a lot I've got to say to a 10-year-old.
Yeah, and Gidget, I mean, from your perspective, do you think that getting together today, like in today's day and age, is worth you bringing all your friends together and sitting down in front of a console and playing a game of, Donkey Kong together? Do you think that has the same spark and feel today as it would, 20, 30 years ago?
It's hard to say because I'm not that age anymore. So I think as you grow up, there's different perspectives. I still enjoy playing the odd game, and I certainly played Roller Coaster Tycoon. That was more suitable, and maybe that's why The Sims worked so well. There's games that just suit people of a certain age, but it is very, very easy. And again, I know from playing Warcraft to get inside your own head and your own bubble and not be social at all, and just spend hours. Yeah. Just spend hours of your day. All of a sudden, you look at the clock and you're like, "Well, that's one day gone."
Yeah, and yeah. Alex, I think you bring up a question. Is it where I don't know that I would give up the convenience, to go back, because there is so much convenience of being in your home, and being able to jump in and out of a game, and I could talk to people. But I think that convenience does come at a price, and that price is our connection is not the same. It's just not. It just doesn't compare, I don't think, to what we had in the 90s or what she had in the 80s with going to an arcade and seeing new people. Like, you literally had to face off against them or wait your turn.
That's
right. So there's a lot of things we do as humans that, picking up on cues, we're talking to each other, we're doing all kind of like cool stuff that we totally miss that now.
Well, that's a really good point. And I'm looking to you folks at home listening right now. What do you think? Has gaming become less of a social event? Or do you guys miss the social aspects of gaming back in the day? You can email us, decadespodcast@notarealemail.com. We look forward to hearing your feedback. We'll see you next time.
That was Decades, this week's entry by the newly formed Emu Ears team. On the next episode, we'll see how our other three contestants, Amy, Bill, and Jerry, are doing with their video game podcast. And later this week, the Judging and Elimination episode, all coming up this week on America's Next Top Podcaster.